Hi, everyone, and welcome to MedEdge. I'm Marcus Scrim. MedEdge is brought to you by Metrics Software. As we record this episode of MedEdge, we are in match day season, that critical time where medical students will find out their assigned residency for the next year. And as we've discussed before, these months will be pivotal to exposing tomorrow's physicians to that day-to-day within those placements. But as we all know, there are many variables physicians need to consider when looking at their career path. We're joined today by Rohit Shaw, a compassionate hospitalist medical director in Cleveland, Ohio. As a physician and healthcare leader, Rohit is interested in developing future clinicians, solving complex problems, and building those key community relationships. His leadership is distinguished by a commitment to compassion. Beyond his role, he actively engages in topics focusing on enhancing healthcare leadership through empathetic practices, shaping the future of healthcare in Cleveland with transformative and compassionate leadership. Great introduction. Rohit, welcome to MedEdge.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Marcus.
We're so happy to have you here. We became aware of you from a fantastic video that we saw that you shared with your LinkedIn audience. And I loved it. It was all about three key questions that residents should ask themselves when deciding what their career should look like. And I'm a big believer in you can do anything, but it's tough to do everything. And so you did a great job of saying, you know, here are some of the key questions to ask yourself. And so we're gonna talk about the video. But before we do that, obviously you've asked yourself a lot of questions to get where you are today. You've made some really important decisions in your career. So just talk us about your own journey to healthcare. Sometimes we get people on the program that knew they were going to be a doctor from day one. Other people sort of fell into it. When did you decide that this is what you wanted to do for a career?
Yeah, thank you for that. I started in biomedical engineering. And I thought that I wanted to be a doctor in high school, but I thought an engineering background, especially in a medical engineering field, would help me with the analytical skills needed to treat patients and diagnose patients. I quickly realized when I was doing my engineering degree that I liked working with people more than solving analytical problems. And I quickly pivoted at the end of my undergraduate year to taking classes in medicine and moving on to the path of going to medical school. And during my path through medical school, I had a great mentor. He was actually my primary care physician, and he encouraged me to kind of follow him in his footsteps and become a primary care doctor. And that was my original goal when I started going to medical school, was to become a primary care physician. I heard that there was a really big need for primary care, preventative care. And I thought that was where I would fit. But that quickly changed once I went into residency. After being exposed to different fields and different mentors, I was able to see what I really liked, and I transitioned to where I am now as a hospitalist in a community hospital.
Outstanding. We often talk about that residency path. It's critical. It's critical for helping you know what makes sense for you and what's going to be the best journey for yourself. Now, I love this video because it was really simple in terms of saying, here's just three questions to ask yourself. But as we go through these, when we go through each one, I'm also going to sort of ask you, what did that look like on your own personal journey when you asked yourself those questions? And also, timing's everything, right? So when did you ask those questions to sort of dial in the career you're looking for? So the first question you simply say that you should ask yourself is, are you looking to be in a hospital environment or a clinical environment? Just talk to us about that question. What are the key differences that you see between those two environments?
Sure. So when I started my residency, I started in internal medicine and pediatrics. And that was great for me because during residency, you get a feel of being both in the hospital and outside the hospital in a clinical setting. And I quickly realized that being in the hospital was a better fit for my own personal schedule and what I liked seeing in medicine. What I mean by that is, you know, in a hospital, you're going to see more acute, urgent needs that the patient has, whereas opposed to in the clinic, you're seeing more chronic needs. You're kind of going room to room, seeing patients for 15 to 30 minutes each. It's very regimented. In the hospital, it may be a little bit more stressful, but you're seeing more acute needs, maybe 5-10 minutes for the patient, trying to figure out with a team how to diagnose and treat the patient. And you could be doing a lot of things at once in your day as a hospitalist. And for me, I think I like that. I like doing different things. I like being pulled in different directions. I'm not a very big regimented go here the next 30 minutes. So I think that schedule fit for my lifestyle or my career lifestyle, I guess.
I'm curious, whenever we go into an environment, we have expectations of what it's going to be like. Then you sort of go do it and you learn something different. I think Mike Tyson has the famous line, everyone's got a plan till they get punched in the mouth. What are some of the misconceptions that you find that sometimes medical students might have where they're expecting this in either a clinical setting or a hospital setting?
Yeah, I think that maybe the one misconception I think I hear a lot is one is harder than the other. And I think the way to think about it is they're just different. It depends on what you're interested in doing. Some fields in medicine are more clinic driven. If you like those fields, you're going to do well in that setting because that's what you like doing. Same with the hospital. If you like doing procedures, seeing sicker patients, kind of fixing the problem and sending them home, diagnosing acute needs, I think the hospital is a better fit. But I think the fact that one being harder than the other is, I think, the big misconception. Also, the schedules are quite different, and some people think one is better than the other. And yes, they can be. Clinic is usually Monday through Friday, but you are doing a lot of work outside those normal hours. In the hospital setting, similar thing. The hospitals are 24/7, so you could be working weekends, nights, holidays. But a lot of times when you're in the hospital, once you're done with your shift, you're done for the day. You're not getting calls and things like that. So the misconception, I think, is in what field you want to do. I think that's where you can decide whether you like hospital medicine or clinical medicine.
That's a great, great response. Thank you. The second question you suggest is asking about mentorship and learning opportunities in a job. Frankly, everyone who listens to MedEdge knows I'm not a physician. I have a wonderful opportunity to interview a lot of physicians. This question surprised me a little bit, though, because when you come out of residency, you have just been exposed to so much learning, so many learning opportunities, that the idea that you should ask yourself, you know, can I get even more learning opportunities? That kind of surprised me a little bit. So I think my real question is, you've just come out of what society would say is one of the most grueling learning experiences that we have. And I'm just curious, what's missing from medical school education that you believe that continuing that learning process is so key?
Yeah, it's, you know, residency in med school is very challenging, but unfortunately in medicine, you know, you're making a real salary, but things don't get any better in terms of trying to keep up with that knowledge. And what I wish I would have done in residency in med school, once I figured out where career path I wanted to do, is seek out mentors earlier in my career, because those are the people, especially in the field you're interested in, are the ones that are going to show you how to build your career, what knowledge you're going to need to know outside of what you've learned in medical school. And also, being a physician is difficult with work-life balance, and mentorship is key in kind of showing you how to balance your outside life versus your clinical life. So I think the mentorship is key.
You talk about that, and it almost seemed to me that when you said to ask yourself that question, I was trying to think, if you're asking that question because you had some great mentors, or it almost sounds like you're saying it's actually one of those things that you feel like maybe you personally could have made some better choices to have more of that in your career. How would you describe your own experiences?
I think I was lucky to have great mentors during residency. I wish I would have maybe paid attention to that or seek them out a little bit earlier in my residency. But I did have a great mentor, both my program directors in internal medicine and pediatrics, very supportive. And, you know, they were the ones that kind of helped me and guide me through what job I wanted next, what my interests were. And that's hard to think about when you're dealing with all the pressures of residency. So once you find that field you're interested in, try to find someone that's in your network or in your hospital that's successful in that field or you feel comfortable talking to. And once you develop that relationship, it's easy to kind of flow into it or, you know, get your bearings right. So when you do apply for that job, you know the right questions to ask, you know what to expect, maybe not only in your career, but also what your lifestyle will be like in that field.
Obviously, mentorship is absolutely critical. And I find that medical school does a great job of preparing you from a clinical perspective. But by the same token, I'm curious about this whole, hey, you should find mentors, you should have great mentors. Was that taught to you in med school? Or is that kind of something you figure out along the way that, hey, it takes a village to raise a doctor, that I need to do this on my own? What are your thoughts on how well med school fosters mentorship?
I think in med school, I definitely think they're trying harder now from the students I talk to foster some mentorships or at least give you a mentor. But I do think it's difficult because in med school, you're getting so much thrown at you and you're stressed just to learn the clinical component of medicine. And you might have so many ideas of what field you want to go into. And a lot of times, the field you're thinking about in med school may not be the field you choose in residency and, you know, your final career. I think, you know, each step to get you through it, mentorship is key. I think you need a good community. I think you need a good support structure to get through that each step in medicine, because each step is very challenging. in med school, I think the important thing is finding a mentor that you can talk about to help you choose your career or help you choose your field that you, you know, may be interested in. Once you choose that field, then you can find a mentor that maybe is in that field to kind of guide you to the next step. I think, you know, a lot of times residencies and med schools try to pair you up with a mentor, but I think a lot of that you kind of do have to learn out of your own.
So mentorship is critical, but learning obviously goes beyond mentorship. So let's go into your own experience where you became a doctor, been a practicing physician, but in 2022, you also received your MBA, which is something I'm seeing more of because we have a lot of talented guests on this show, but it's still relatively uncommon. Just talk about your own journey regarding your MBA and saying, this is what I want to add to my experience.
Yeah, so once I figured out that I wanted to work in a hospital setting as a hospitalist, I started to get more involved and through my mentors into different leadership opportunities. And as I got more involved, I was a chief resident in pediatrics in my residency. I became the chair of medicine at my first job as a hospitalist in a community hospital. I started to feel that I wanted to keep growing my leadership skills, and I wanted to pursue a career in hospital leadership. And I think the MBA is a great way to augment that. It's not something that guarantees you a job in any way after you're done with MBA school, but it is something that helps you learn the language of business, which is not taught well in medical school, and also develop those soft leadership skills that are needed to move up in hospital administration. I had the opportunity to go to a great program. It's Case Western here in Cleveland. Their program was a lot about empathetic leadership, leading with empathy. I think that helped me a lot with the skills I have today.
We just did a wonderful interview with Rebecca Love, who talks a lot about nurse compensation. That's her passion project. And she talked a lot about, you know, some of the major ahas that occur once you really start to look through that lens of medicine as a business. And I'm curious how your MBA helped you with that, or is that something else that you kind of figured out the business of healthcare while you were doing it?
I think what helped me on the clinical side with my MBA is understanding the business language is really appreciating, and, you know, depends on what your opinion is, but that medicine, unfortunately, in the U.S. is a business. And for it to be successful, right, you have to run it as a business. You have successful healthcare. And I think the pressures that sometimes us as clinicians feel, we don't understand the business side, and it feels like maybe we're not providing the right amount of care or being bullied by insurance companies. When you do start to understand the business side of medicine, you do develop those skills to, I don't want to say work around the system, but to help your patients maybe navigate the system when they need something that you're trying to get them.
Yeah, I think that absolutely critical. And you're right. We shared on our recent episode that as an industry, healthcare is 1/5 of our GDP. It's more than technology, retail, and information combined. So we're almost not setting ourselves up for success if we don't acknowledge that in fact it is a business.
Right.
The final question you tell people to ask themselves on the video, and this is a big one today in healthcare, and quite frankly in other industries as well, it's this work-life balance question. And wow, that's a tough one today. But as you think about work-life balance, how would my answer to that question sort of nudge me in one direction or another?
Yeah, that's a hard question. And I think you see a lot on social media about, you know, the traditional 9-to-5 job, making sure you're there, you know, working your 40 hours, weekends, holidays off. I think that's really tough in medicine, no matter what field you're in. I do think work-life balance is important, but I think you have to think about it from your own individual point of view. You have to be able to say no. You have to be able to set time for yourself to think about your mental health and your physical health. It might not be at that traditional time that society thinks it should be, but in medicine, you know, if you find time to take a break, I think you need to eat healthy and get the 8 hours of sleep that everybody needs. Each field is different and each field has its own stress. So it's hard to kind of just pigeonhole everyone into one, like, hey, you got to do this at this time. I think you just have to understand yourself, your body, your mental health, and kind of listen to yourself when you're feeling overwhelmed or stressed.
These are three great questions to ask yourself. I absolutely love them. And when you talk about medical school, when you talk about residency, I'm trying to envision in my mind, when do you start asking yourselves those questions? Because I think we would both agree that you're going to ask yourself, obviously you'll have your gut reaction, but obviously some of our best answers are after we've been a little bit more informed. So when you think about those three questions, when you were recording this video, were you thinking to yourself, "Boy, I hope someone sees this before they go to residency. I hope they see it when they're coming out of residency." What's the timing for these questions, ideally?
I think it depends on your own personal journey. I mean, some people are lucky that they know what they want to be once they get into med school right from the get-go, and they become that specialty once they're finished with residency. I think once you start to understand what you like about medicine and what field you're trying to go into, and you're narrowed it down to maybe a couple fields you're interested in, I think at that time is to start asking those questions. You know, there's a big difference in lifestyle from someone that's a neurosurgeon to a primary care physician. I think, you know, once you start to think about, okay, this is, you know, earning potential, this is where I am now, this is where I want to be, this is where my family situation is, you know. So I think when you start to think about what your career path is going to be, I think that's when you start to add that component to the thought process.
Right, right. That's very well said. We talk a lot about burnout today. And one of the things that Tosh and I have talked about is oftentimes burnout is something that we lay on the person. This person says they're burned out. But just as often we find burnout can be attributed to the environment that you're in and a mismatch between yourself and your natural tendencies or your goals and that environment. And what I've really liked about these questions is it almost seems like if you really ask those questions, and they're not, let's be very, very clear, these are not easy questions to answer, but they're important questions. If you ask these questions of yourself, to me, it almost feels like preventative care. You're trying to set yourself up to be more likely for success in your journey. Is that what you're getting at here?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think you need to be in that mindset from the beginning, because there's so much pressure in medicine to work more, to take care of patients, to make money, pay off your loans. And, you know, that I think that's maybe a lot of that's from the field itself. I mean, healthcare, like I said before, is a 24/7 field. People are sick. People need to be taken care of. And if you're a doctor and, you know, you want to take care of those patients, but there's only so much you can do if you're not well yourself. If you're not taking care of yourself, well, how are you going to take care of your patients? So I think if you're thinking about it, if it's in the back of your mind, you can prevent yourself from getting to that point where you're so severely burnt out that it's affecting your life. I think if you start putting things in, develop good habits from the beginning, putting things in your life that can help, take those scheduled breaks, spend time with the family, and incorporate that into your own schedule, depending on what fields you're in, I think that helps rather than once you're already burnt out, then trying to change your habits and doing everything from scratch.
Great answer. I really appreciate that. You've shared on this program some great insights from your own background and how you've taken those insights into advice for the next generation of healthcare leaders. So for my last question, I'm going to ask you about the future. In a recent post on LinkedIn, you shared 7 priorities you'd suggest should be at the top of the agenda if you were advising a presidential campaign on healthcare. Honestly, it's a comprehensive, exhaustive list. We've got topics from affordable care and transparency to technology and long-term care. Wow, each of those is huge, right? But I'm curious from your perspective, as we think about maybe the next 10 years, where are you personally finding the most optimism? When you look at that list, where do you go, you know what, if we really knuckle down and approach this strategically, we can solve this or at least make it much better when it comes to U.S. healthcare. And so share us which one of those 7 that you personally feel that way about and why you feel that way.
Yeah, right. I feel like you should probably add so many more to that list too.
Right, right.
I feel that, you know, I think technology is, I feel the most optimistic in. I think that is where if we were to focus our resources on developing technology, not only to help our patients, but to help the shortage of medicine, to help with burnout, to help with, you know, I think that's where we're going to see some headway. I think technology is going to be, we are going to see some things with technology that decreases cost, that helps with documentation for doctors. I think that's where I feel the most optimistic in, but I still think we have a long ways to go.
Right, Right. But very well said, in that technology is one of them that can really go across a lot of those categories that you mentioned. Well, wonderful. I'm glad to find some optimism in that post. And I do encourage people to read it, because those are the serious issues that people like our guests today are thinking about and working so hard on. Rohit, this has been really informative. I'm so grateful for you being on this program. What's the best way for people to find you if they have questions?
Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn, or they can email me at rohit.m.shah1@gmail.com.
Wonderful. I know our listeners appreciate that. You know, we live in this world where many times, you know, we feel like physicians are behind the curtain. And to see physicians like yourself active on LinkedIn, sharing your email address, it's great. And it's tremendous. And we really appreciate both your work and your willingness to share. So thank you for joining us today.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. This is great.
Choosing a profession is one of the most monumental decisions in someone's life. Those seeking to become physicians have one that's nearly as consequential, which is choosing that specialty. But the choices don't stop there. And hopefully the questions shared by today's guest will help listeners dial in those key elements that will also inform their ultimate satisfaction. You've been listening to MedEdge, which is a program brought to you by Metrics. Metrics, practice medicine, not software. Learn more at metricslab.com. For Santosh Cherian and everyone else on the MedEdge team, I'm Marcus Grimm.